finally, a good intro on the basketball podcast. It is about time.
Welcome to the basketball podcast. We're glad you are here. Today we're going to be talking about USA basketball and why USA basketball looks so freaking bad. But don't worry, it's not all bad. There is hope. We're going to be talking about USA basketball today. And we'll get into a little bit of the NBA as well, of course, because this is the basketball podcast. Thank you for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet on your favorite listening platform, make sure that you do. Here we go. You're listening to the basketball podcast. Folks, Team USA basketball is not looking good. It is not looking good. I have a few listeners that are international listeners. Thank you for listening. This episode is specifically about Team USA basketball. For all of the folks that are in the United States listening to this, you should be deeply concerned. If you're an international subscriber, thank you for subscribing and congratulations to you. You're probably going to beat Team USA basketball this year because they look, reportedly, they look terrible. And it's to no surprise, because their roster is subpar to Team USA standards. Here's the roster. It's LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell. Wait, nope, that's not it. That's not it. Here's the roster for Team USA. Team USA, the collection of the best basketball players from the United States. The best coaches, the best basketball players, the best trainers. This is the best of the best. This is not like the All-Star team. This is the All-Stars of the All-Star team in the U.S. Here we go. It's the best of the best. Starting off with Harrison Barnes, Jaylen Brown, De'Aaron Fox, Kyle Kuzma, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, Donovan Mitchell, Mason Plumlee, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, PJ Tucker, Miles Turner, Kemba Walker, Joe Harris, and Derek White. Oh yeah. These are the best of the best that Team USA can offer. This roster is horrendous even on paper. God forbid we have to watch them on the basketball court. They're not horrendous, but this is really the best that Team USA can bring this year. Most of these guys have never been all-stars in the NBA. Of course, many of them are still young. There's at least four players on this team that are 22 and under. Miles Turner is 23, Kyle Kuzma is 24, so many that are under 25 and under, probably half the roster is 25 and under. There's only one guy over the age of 30, and it's PJ Tucker. He's 34, by the way. Yikes. This roster still has to be trimmed down. It's a 12-man roster. It has to be a 12-man roster, I should say, and right now this roster stands at 15, so there's still three guys that are going to get cut. How would you like to be the guy that gets cut from this team? Dear Lord, that's got to be embarrassing. That's got to be embarrassing. This is the best roster that Team USA can put together for the FIBA World Cup. Now, don't get me wrong. In the United States, the FIBA World Cup is just not that popular. Compared to other countries internationally, this is just not that popular. The Olympics are popular in the U.S., but it's not necessarily just USA basketball, it's the Olympics altogether. And it's not even popular because people are interested in it. It's only popular because it's just a trendy thing to follow whenever it's around. It's like the soccer World Cup. No one's a soccer fan until the World Cup comes around, and then my God, everyone in the United States is a soccer fan. This is the best roster that the U.S. can bring to the FIBA World Cup. It's disappointing because this is not the best roster that the USA basketball team should be bringing or that they could be bringing. What's even more alarming is some of the reports of internal scrimmages that have taken place between Team USA and some Team USA select teams. And the select teams are comprised of G League players and overseas players from the reports. Apparently, Team USA was blown out by the select team, which was coached by Jeff Van Gundy. The most notable players from this select team that you may have heard of: Justin Anderson plays for the Atlanta Hawks. John Jenkins plays for the Knicks, was a late first round pick back in like 2014. Most of these other guys are, honestly, I haven't heard of them. And so these are fringe NBA players. They're G League players. They're bench warmers. This is scary. The Team USA it's not that Team USA lost to this team. It's that they were destroyed by this team. They were destroyed by this select team. Ran them out of the gym. They lost 36-17 in a 10-minute scrimmage. No, don't get me wrong. It's a 10-minute scrimmage. We've heard of Team USA scrimmages of the past where the best of the best were blown out in a closed scrimmage. And we've seen documentaries about it, right? Like Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, they all lost to the college players, to like Chris Webber and the other college guys at the time. And then they came out and they just thumped them. But there's no Michael Jordan. There's no Magic Johnson. There's no Larry Bird. There's only Joe Harris, Derek White, and PJ Tucker on this Team USA. This is alarming if this team is losing to select teams in 10-minute scrimmages by 19 points. They were doubled up in a 10-minute scrimmage. It's alarming as a follower of Team USA basketball. It's alarming. I would prefer to see a better team trot out onto the court to represent the United States, but this is where we're at. These are the only players that want to play for Team USA. I guess a couple of things. One thing that I do like about this roster is the decision by the Boston Celtics core to participate. There's four players from the Boston Celtics on this team. And it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, and Marcus Smart. This is the core of the Celtics for the foreseeable future. And they are using this opportunity to spend time together in the summer, build camaraderie, build chemistry, and prepare for the NBA. We've seen other teams, players from other teams, decide to not play for Team USA because they want to build camaraderie. That was Anthony Davis's whole decision, is he's preparing for a championship. Good for you, Anthony Davis. You do realize that Kyle Kuzma is playing on this team, and he's the third best player on your Lakers team. It probably would have been a good opportunity for you to build some camaraderie. Obviously, most of the excuses that other basketball players that have stepped out of the running for Team USA or have withdrawn their name, the excuses are just, they're just excuses. I saw an interview with CJ McCollum where he explained why so many players don't want to play for Team USA or why they're bowing out. And he basically said, I don't know, we don't want to play. Thank you. Thanks, CJ. We're getting healthy. Okay, great. Were you unhealthy last year? We're preparing for a championship. Cool, you could go out and win a gold medal with Team USA. You could be the best player on Team USA if you went out there. Just saying. Well, like I said, what I really like is I like that the Celtics core is using this opportunity to represent Team USA and to build camaraderie with one another. I think it's a cool decision. Not all teams have that opportunity, because not all teams will have their core playing together or even have the opportunity to have their core on Team USA. I think it would have been interesting to see LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma doing something similar, but we wouldn't ever see that. LeBron wouldn't be doing that. Anthony Davis wouldn't be doing that. Anthony Davis wants to spend the summer in LA. I get it. You're now with the Lakers. You want to hang out in LA. Good for you. So the Celtics are pretty sneaky with this building of camaraderie. And you know what? What we've seen in the last couple of years is that players from other teams build relationship through Team USA. So the Celtics might be looking ahead to free agency in a couple of years and say, how do we get De'Aaron Fox? How do we get Donovan Mitchell? How do we get some of these young up-and-coming superstars? I don't want to say like Joe Harris. Kyle Kuzma even. Like, I mean, Kyle Kuzma is going to be a solid NBA player for the foreseeable future. How do they add them to their roster? There's a couple of guys on here where they could be targeting them in the future to say, it would be good if you came and played with us. Let's hang out each summer playing for Team USA. Let's win some gold medals, and then let's go win an NBA championship together in Boston. We've seen this happen. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant and the Warriors. We've seen this happen. LeBron and AD. They played in Team USA together. That's how they became friends. We've seen this happen. Here's the last thought that I have about this, and this is probably the most mind-blowing, mind-boggling drama-related scenario of this of this whole Team USA summer. It was reported a couple weeks ago, that Carmelo Anthony reached out to Team USA, specifically to Jerry Colangelo, and asked for a tryout with Team USA. And Jerry turned him down. Jerry didn't even give him a tryout. Jerry later came out and gave his official statement on the particular scenario and said, it's very clear that, this isn't verbatim, it's just paraphrasing what he had said. It's very clear that Carmelo is trying to jumpstart his NBA career, and Team USA Basketball didn't feel like it was the right platform for him to leverage that jumpstart. They didn't want him to play for Team USA because they felt like the only reason he would have been playing for Team USA is so that he can jumpstart his NBA career, so he can get it back on track. He wants to showcase everyone he can still play basketball, and he wants to leverage Team USA to do that. And Jerry decided it just wasn't the appropriate way of him going about it. I'm baffled by that decision. Because, Jerry, the team you've put together right now has Joe Harris, PJ Tucker, and Derek White on it. Carmelo Anthony is better than half of this roster. He can be. We've seen him be better than half of this roster, than all of this roster. Obviously, he's out of his prime. It's very clear. The last time Melo played international basketball, he was tremendously good. And then he went and played for the Thunder, and he was tremendously awful. This isn't about Carmelo's NBA career. And you know what? If he happens to jumpstart his NBA career because he plays so well for Team USA basketball, great! It's a win-win! Team USA does well, and Carmelo's back on track. Jerry Colangelo turned down Melo's tryout offer because he's so satisfied with the roster that he has right now, which consists of Joe Harris, PJ Tucker, and Derek White. No offense to those three guys. You are not better than Carmelo Anthony even right now. To be fair, I do like all three of those players. So I'm picking on them a little bit. Out of those three, Derek White's the only one where I'm like, what? Why is he? He's going to get cut, clearly. He's probably only there because he's on the Spurs. And old Gregory Popovich is the head coach of Team USA basketball. So there's a connection there. Melo should be wearing a Team USA jersey right now. One of the former superstars of the NBA wants to play for Team USA. And they won't let him even try out. Give him a tryout. See if he's any good. You could use the help. You just got blown out by G League players and overseas players. Like, you just got blown out by them, Jerry. Can you imagine if it was like, if it was LeBron coming over and being like, you know what, actually, I do want to play. Are they going to turn LeBron down? If LeBron came to them and said, you know what, actually, I'm good. I'm ready. Let's do it. Are they going to be like, no, sorry, we're good with our roster? Team USA basketball is going to lose the FIBA World Cup. if this is the same roster they trot out for the Olympics. God forbid it is, but if this is the same roster they trot out for the Olympics, you have been warned. They will be tremendously terrible. Surprise, surprise! We have a mailbag. Two questions from the mailbag. The first one is, which NBA player do you want to see come back? There's four NBA players that I've been following that are trying to make comebacks. The first one is Amari Stoudemire. Apparently, Amari Stoudemire wants to play in the NBA again. He's 36. He's had a history of knee injuries. Is that all? That's all I need to say. He's not going to come back in the NBA. He's 36 and he has a history of knee injuries. No, thank you. The second player that's trying to come back, this one is a little more intriguing. It's Hashim Thabeet. And if you are a fringe NBA fan, and maybe you've only started following the NBA in the last 5 to 10 years, you may not know who Hashim Thabeet is. Hashim Thabeet is one of the most famous draft picks in NBA history. Why? Because he was drafted second overall in 2009. 2009, why does that ring a bell? Why does that NBA draft ring a bell? Oh, well, maybe because Steph Curry, James Harden, Blake Griffin, DeMar DeRozan, Drew Holiday, Jeff Teague, Ricky Rubio, Tyreek Evans, Brandon Jennings, Gerald Henderson, Darren Collison, Jody Meeks, Patrick Beverley, all of them were drafted. Danny Green, they were all drafted in the 2009 NBA draft. Probably one of the deepest NBA drafts in the last 10 years was the 2009 draft. Here's two MVPs that have come out of that. And Steph Curry and James Harden. Four All-Stars. Four All-NBA players. Six All-Stars, excuse me. Four All-NBA players. And then plenty of guys that are still playing in the league or could be playing in the league. Darren Collison just retired because he's going to go pursue something. Jehovah's Witness. Hashim Thabeet was a bust. The definition of a bust. And he's trying to get back in the NBA. He's 32. He's 7'3". He's apparently in the best shape of his life. Maybe there's a chance he makes it back. If Greg Oden was able to come back, which Greg Oden obviously was a much better player than Hashim Thabeet in all facets, but Greg Oden was like walking with crutches from age 24 to 34, and he was able to still come back into the NBA and sit on the bench for the Heat. Perhaps Hashim Thabeet has a chance. Perhaps he has a chance of making a roster somewhere. And just sitting on the bench and watching other guys play, maybe. It's intriguing. If he really is in the best shape of his life, if he has improved his game, he's 7'3". That's intriguing. That's what got him drafted in the first place. He was 7'3". Two other players. Obviously, we've already talked about Melo, so let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. I'm following Carmelo Anthony. I want to see if he makes it back into the NBA. He's a future Hall of Famer. By NBA standards, he's a future Hall of Famer. He won a college championship, so he's a Hall of Famer. Deservedly so. He's an Olympian. He's a Hall of Famer. Absolutely a Hall of Famer. One of the best players of his generation. I'll say that. I don't care if he never made it to the Eastern Conference Finals with the Knicks. I don't care if he only made it to one Western Conference Finals. He was one of the best players of his generation, hands down. He's only 35. There's got to be a team out there that can use him. He's reportedly practicing with Nets players, so there's a chance that maybe he gets signed by the Nets this year. I think that would be interesting. With KD out for the year, do they just throw 1 year at Melo and be like, hey man, you can start for us. Let's see if you can really do it. We'll jumpstart your career. Sure. We're not going to win this year. We know it. We're waiting for KD, so let's sell some jerseys. I think that would be interesting. And finally, the last player that I am following, this is not a flashy player, but Mario Chalmers. He's only 33. Only 33. He's 33. He's old. He did have a pretty significant knee injury, I believe. It was either his Achilles or his ACL when he was playing for the Grizzlies a couple years ago. But he is playing again. He was playing overseas this past season. He may go back and play overseas again this coming year, just depending on whether or not he gets something from the NBA. But that's a guy that, again, there's teams that need a backup point guard that are contenders. I'm looking at you, Philadelphia 76ers. I'm looking at you, Lakers, if you really think that you're contenders. There are teams that need backup point guards. Even the Rockets might want him. I mean, he's a good three-point shooter. He's a good defender. He doesn't have the same quickness, athleticism that he used to. Not that he was ever the most quick or the most athletic person on the court. He's older. He's had a significant injury, but he can still play. Does the team take a chance on Mario Chalmers? I think he could be a decent role player for a championship contender if he just had a chance. That's it for my player comeback. Here's the other question that we have for the mailbag. What are the top five collapses all time for NBA franchises? I'm not going to go into too much details on these, but I bring this up because there's a particular segment that I've been watching on YouTube during the NBA offseason, and it's coming from Sports Nation. I don't typically follow them because they're this... on like social media, they just post these obnoxious graphics, and they try to meme everything, and... everything has to be a meme nowadays. But they do have a YouTube series that I've been following this summer called Collapse, and it's been out for a couple of years. But I just found it this summer, and I've really enjoyed watching it, so I encourage you to check it out as well. Don't substitute it in place of the basketball podcast, let me be clear. Watch it in tandem to listening to the basketball podcast. But it follows different franchise collapses, specifically within the NBA. And so I've been intrigued by it, watching it, reminiscing on teams of yesteryear that were so good that just didn't ever follow through with being able to win the championship or be consistent championship contenders. And the five teams that I'm looking at, and I don't think that all of these have had a collapse video, but it just sparked my interest in reviewing what are the teams that were really good that just never fulfilled their true potential. And the top five collapses I have. In no particular order, we'll start with the Orlando Magic of the 90s. And yes, this one might not be as flashy as some of the other choices I could have made. But the Magic in the 90s had Shaq and Penny Hardaway, both in their prime. Well, Shaq wasn't necessarily in his prime yet. Penny was probably in his prime because he later got injured and just couldn't keep playing. They also had Horace Grant. They had a good team. They had a good, solid team. And they went to the finals. In 95, they went to the finals. They got beat by the Rockets, who were repeat champions. They had Hakeem Olajuwon, a couple of Hall of Famers, with Kenny the Jet Smith and Clyde Drexler. The Magic in the 90s could have been better than they were, but Shaq ended up leaving in 96. Went to the Lakers, and the rest is history. Now, the Magic have done a decent job of rebuilding. They did have a pretty good opportunity to be contenders again in the early 2000s when they got Grant Hill and T-Mac, but of course both of them were injured pretty much the whole time that they were under contract with the Magic, and then they both moved on later, and the Magic moved on from them. And then again in 2009, they ended up going back to the finals. They built around Dwight Howard, who was the number one overall pick in 2005. They also had Vince Carter on that team, Hedo Turkoglu, J.J. Redick, Jameer Nelson when he was young and decent. It was a good team, but once they lost in the 2009 finals, it all unraveled from there. Dwight Howard obviously went off to play for the Lakers. Familiar story for Magic fans, your superstar center, nicknamed Superman, decided to go play for the Lakers. Since then, they've just been mismanaged, poor drafting. But that's the Magic of the 90s that could have been better than they were. I'm also looking at the Pistons from the 2000s. They did win a championship. They went back to the finals. They won in 2004. They went back to the finals in 2005. They built the right way. But as soon as they lost in the 2005 finals, it just seems like everything unraveled. Ben Wallace left. Rasheed Wallace ended up leaving eventually. Chauncey got traded. They tried to build around Richard Hamilton and Tayshaun Prince. It just didn't work out. Ben Wallace tried to come back. And now the Pistons are a fringe playoff team. They've been stuck in mediocrity now for the last 15 years. The Knicks, this is too easy of one, but the Knicks basically since 2000, we all know that the Knicks stink. The Knicks are still rebuilding. Every year they're rebuilding. The Thunder in the 2010s, that's another team that had a pretty significant collapse because they could have been perennial contenders. I mean, if you had James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and KD all in their prime, and Serge Ibaka, Steven Adams, like you had all these guys, oh my gosh, that team could have been tremendously good. But, of course, Sam Presti didn't want to pay money, so James Harden got traded. They brought back Kevin Martin, though. Remember Kevin Martin? He was the centerpiece of that trade. Yikes. James Harden for Kevin Martin is not a good deal. And the Thunder since have basically gone into total tank mode. That's where we're at right now with the Thunder. They made it to one NBA Finals. They made it to a couple of Western Conference Finals. They tried to restart it again after Kevin Durant left. They tried to restart it with Carmelo Anthony and Paul George. And they thought they had Paul George, and then he left because he's a turd. And they're in full-on tank mode, rebuild mode. That's where we're at with the Thunder. Basically 10 years of good basketball. And then, of course, the one team that I still can't get over their collapse. It's the Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers in 2004, in 2005, should have been in the championship. They should have been playing the Lakers, and they should have been playing the Spurs in 2004 and 2005. And they should have been in many more Eastern Conference Finals. They should have been in many more NBA Finals. But Ron Artest had to go fight those people in the stands. He had to go sit on the scorer's bench, and he had to fight people. And you know what? If that's the type of player and person that Ron Artest is, then I'm okay that we didn't win a championship with them. Ron Artest is a lunatic. Ron, if you're listening to this, my God, don't hurt me. Okay? It's just commentary, buddy. Okay? Don't hurt me, Ron. But you're also a lunatic, and you beat people up in the stands. The Pacers could have been much better than they were, but of course they had to get rid of all those guys. Tons of suspensions. They started to build around Mike Dunleavy and Troy Murphy. Weird. Danny Granger was a scoring champ one year, I think. Or he was close to it. Like, just... They got back to contender status, of course. They made it to, like, three straight Eastern Conference Finals playing against the Heat. And they could never get over the Heat. So then they started to do some weird roster moves. David West left. They got rid of Roy Hibbert. They traded George Hill for Jeff Teague. Just weird decisions. But we're back in a good state now. Pacers fans, you should be happy. Like, we've got a good, fun team that we can roll out there. We're not necessarily going to be winning championships, but I like our roster. Two things, though, I want to note from the Pacers-Pistons brawl from the Malice at the Palace. There's two lasting memories that I think everyone will remember for the eternity of NBA history. And honestly, when they do the... At the beginning of the NBA Finals, they always have this really cool, like, intro where it's all the famous moments from NBA Finals and NBA basketball history, right? It's MJ hitting game winners. It's Willis Reed coming back on the court. It's Bird making crazy plays. It's Magic making crazy plays. It's LeBron hitting game winners, right? It's all these... The Warriors now are in that same montage. They have all these lasting memories of NBA Finals history and some of the greatest moments in NBA history. And I really wish that they'd just throw that one Jermaine O'Neal sucker punch into that montage. You can even have it playing in the background. It doesn't have to be like the centerpiece of the image. Like, just have it kind of playing in the background somewhere. Or just a still of Jermaine O'Neal getting ready to go in for the punch. That's one of the greatest moments in NBA history. And that fan, that is the luckiest person on earth. Because if Jermaine O'Neal didn't slip on a slick floor, that man would have been dead upon impact. Jermaine O'Neal punching that dude in the face would have killed that dude. My second favorite memory from the Malice at the Palace is absolutely when Steven Jackson came out of the tunnel. He'd already been sent back to the locker room, but he decided to come back out of the tunnel with no shirt. Headband was still on, though, mind you. No shirt, but my God, that headband is still on. And he was wielding a dustpan to fight off Pistons fans. He was going to fight people shirtless with a headband wielding a dustpan. If you haven't seen highlights of the Malice at the Palace, I highly encourage you to watch it. I don't think the NBA wants me to say that, but I don't care. They don't sponsor me. If they want to sponsor me, I wouldn't let them because I'm an independent publisher, baby. That's it for the mailbag. That's it for this episode of the Basketball Podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure that you subscribe. If this is your first time listening, welcome. We're glad you're here. I think that's it. Have a good day. Okay, yep, that's how I'm going to end.